Not bad for girls. Matthew Goldwasser picked out that tune. What is that, Matthew?
The tune is called V Vigor, and it recorded in 1940 by the International Sweethearts of Rhythm, one of the premier all-women bands of that era, or of any era.
Our reviewer, Matthew Goldwasser. The film, the documentary from 2011, The Girls in the Band, this has been screened at, I guess, the Vail Jazz Party last fall, and it's showing and picking up steam. I talked to the director, Judy Chaikin, and she's been invited around the world to screen this movie.
That's wonderful, and I think it's well-deserving. You know, for all of the sort of history in jazz of freedom and liberation, you know, the story of women's place in jazz has struggled to find equal footing, but this film sets that record straight.
As documentaries go, what do you look for, and did this picture deliver?
Oh, I think what you look for, I think, in a good documentary is the story and how compelling the story is, and often how well the, you know, the people who are providing the narrative are kind of infused with the authenticity. And then what kind of archival record is there to back up the story? And Judy Chaikin, the director of this, delivers in spades on both those accounts.
Not just the stories of these women from way back, but she found many of them living.
Yeah, that's one of the really extraordinary aspects of this, that she tracked down a number of the survivors of the International Sweethearts of Rhythm and other women who were part of that era in the late 30s, early 40s, got them to talk about their experiences, some of them in their 90s or even over 100 years old.
Mm-hmm. How about 101-year-old Peggy Gilbert, who begins this clip from The Girls in the Band?
The leader wanted to keep me. And all the men in the band got together and talked the leader out of it because he said, we don't want a girl around. We can't talk the way we want to talk, and we can't do things we want to do, and we just don't want girl musicians, and besides, they can't play very well.
You put a bunch of musicians behind a curtain, and who's going to tell me who's the female playing or who's the male playing? You can't do that. The music is the thing. That's the important thing.
One of the most glamorous of these is that pretty little spitfire of syncopation, Ina Ray Hutton.
They had to have something new. I knew then I had to get a girl band because there was no chance otherwise.
When you're feeling
Anna Mae Wendberg, lead singing there, the International Sweethearts of Rhythm. Matthew, what archival footage, what amazing performers this film, The Girls in the Band, serves up.
Ina Ray Hutton, who was one of the earliest leaders of a big band, Ina Ray Hutton and her Melodeers, the blonde bombshell of rhythm, as she was known.
And she could dance, too, man.
Oh, if you want to see some YouTube clips of her dancing, just type that in, and she'll knock your socks off.
And, you know, in some ways, as I was talking to Steve a little earlier, she sort of reminded me of Lucky Millinder, in that Lucky Millinder was not a musician, but Lucky knew what he wanted out of the band, and Ina Ray seemed the same way.
Yeah, this film is full of fantastic women through the ages. I mean, the portrait begins and ends with the living members of the International Sweethearts, but also profiled are many other important women, including people like Mary Lou Williams and the great trombonist Melba Liston.
And the film turns about two-thirds of the way through to contemporary women, reflecting, acknowledging, confessing their ignorance about these amazing women of jazz history.
Yeah, that's true. It's a little surprising almost to think, as skilled and as students of the music these women are, that they were less aware of the history of their grandmothers yeah. and forebearers.
And they're foremothers.
Yeah. Foremothers.
of the music. And you know, that's not really, I don't think it's really exclusive to jazz music. It's evident in athletics as well.
Right.
The shoulders upon whom these young artists and athletes stand.
A huge emotional finish as they recreated some of the picture known as the Great Day in Harlem. And that's how the film sort of finishes. Not a spoiler, but how did they pull that off at the end?
It's actually sort of the bookend to the film. It begins and ends the film. Yeah. They organized an event to bring as many women in jazz as they could, old and young, to that same Harlem street corner in front of that same Harlem brownstone to mm-hmm. recreate the picture. And as the director said, in an absolute kind of matter-of-fact way, it was complete coincidence that the picture was taken 50 years to the day that the original one was taken.
Yes, and that's really amazing. And I also was kind of taken also or kind of became nostalgic when Carol Comer from Kansas City was talking about the genesis of the Kansas City or the International Women's Jazz Festival, how it started out as one day, and then all these other artists were saying, well, I want to be a part of this, I want to be a part of this, and I want to be a part of this, and turned out to be 3 days at one point.
I rented it last night on YouTube. It's available elsewhere, The Girls in the Band?
It is, yeah. You can buy copies from Judy Chaykin's website, The Girls in the Band. There are sale copies in Amazon, and it's well worth you taking the time to track it down. We're going to close out with the great Mary Lou Williams, 1930, directing and arranging her composition with Andy Kirk's Clouds of Joy. This is simply called Mary's Idea. ¶¶